If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, what's that? Yeah, we miss you all. We miss just the fellowship. We have our own little assembly going on down there. And it's growing slowly but surely. And it's wonderful because the Lord, but the most precious thing about Bible Baptist Church of Carrigaline is the Lord has confirmed it in my heart. There was one Sunday and I knew a certain person was going to come up. I just knew he wasn't going to show. And the Lord just said, it's okay. It's okay. Just preach on. And, the Lord has confirmed in so many different ways. And it's wonderful to step out in faith. It's very, very scary, but it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I'm thankful just for, please, please pray for us, though. Pray for us, because it's a long road ahead. And I think of the potential that's there. Seeing that building filled up. If you ever were down there, it's a big building. It's probably bigger than this room almost. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. But could you imagine that place full up? Wouldn't that be exciting? But it's the Lord that makes it. It's the presence of the Lord. And the one thing I wanted to sense is the presence of the Lord. That's special. And when you sense the presence of the Lord, you don't care about numbers, amen? You just care about Him being there. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, please. I want to preach a message. Hopefully it will bless your heart. I just want to encourage you. When things get heavy upon you, when trials come upon you, stick with it. Because my message tonight is just entitled this, His Church. His Church. I think if you understood that this was His church, things would change, amen? I think something would go on in the back of our mind saying, this is His church. The reason I come here is not to be seen, it's not for the people around me. The reason I come here is because He is going to show up here, amen? And that's what's special. That's what's so special about maybe your prayer closet and just times where you're alone with God. But when you come to church, when we assemble, when the saints of God assemble together, He shows up, amen? That's what makes it all worthwhile. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. It says this, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now that love is a sacrificial type love. It's a love between a husband and wife. It's intimate, amen? And then I want you to see verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or of any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See, at the end of the day, the Lord wants a church, amen? He loves the church. He loves this church. And, wouldn't it be wonderful if there's more churches like this all over Ireland? I think of all the towns and villages. And wouldn't it be nice if there was just local New Testament churches, just established, just men stepping out by faith and just doing what the Lord tells them to do. What is church and why is it so important? Well, church is not a building, is it? It's not this building we meet in. It's not the times we meet on a Sunday. It's not the hymnals. It's not the music. The music is there for the purpose of tuning our hearts, amen? Tuning our hearts so that the Lord could get a hold of us. When we're singing the song, Be Thou My Vision, it touches my heart, it grips my heart, and it opens my heart so I can hear the preaching of the Word of God. Amen? It says in Acts 7:38, it says, talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness, it says, this is He that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai. So in Mount Sinai they had church. Amen? They had church in the wilderness. And we're supposed to have church every time we meet. It's not the building. It's nothing to do. It's Jesus that makes a church. Amen? When He comes in the midst of us. The Bible says, this promise from the Word of God, when two or three are gathered together, there is Jesus in the midst. Amen? That's what church is. It's not the meeting times. It's not the worship music. It's not the Bibles, the hymnals. It's not the sign outside the door. It's when Jesus shows up. Amen? Let me tell you what church is. It is the assembly of God's people meeting together. Amen? the assembly of God's people. It talks about there in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. It's a command from the Word of God, amen? We're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Come what may, we're supposed to be here, amen? Because this is where the Lord shows up. And it is the church that Jesus loved and gave himself for, amen? You know what we are? We're worthless sinners. Even in our best day, we have that old heart, that sinful, wicked, vile. And Jesus washed us, amen? Go to 1 Corinthians. Hold your place there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It talks about the fact that something happened the day you were born again. The day you trusted Christ. Something very, very special happened. It says there in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers that are effeminate, or abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then verse 11, the whole thing changes and says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Man, how precious is that washing? I remember the day I got saved. I remember feeling like a whole new creature. And what a day it was. I ran for 4 miles straight. I got saved on the 2nd of October 1992 in Fulham Row in the Bronx. I ran 4 miles straight to a bookstore. And the reason why I went to the bookstore was to go buy King James Bible. It was for $3. I bought my stuff away. King James Bible. I remember for the first time reading the King James Bible, sitting down and reading it. I read Romans. That was the place that the soul winner told me to read. So I read the book of Romans, the whole thing in one sit down. And it just blessed my heart. It was like I was reading something that had been written previous. Because I believe it was written in my conscience, amen. And when I was reading, it became alive. And it's so wonderful to realize that what church is, it's church that Jesus died for. It's a local, visible body, amen. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation. It's a local, visible body. Most importantly, though, of all, it's his church. Amen? It's his church. See, if you get a hold of that concept, it will change your life, how you relate to church. You're not coming here just to, because you probably get a phone call if you didn't show up. That's not why you come here. You come here because you believe he's going to show up. Amen? You believe he's going to show up. And there's only one authority that's over us, and that's the Word of God. That's the Bible. It says in Revelation, go to Revelation 19, verse 13. Revelation. There's only one authority that God puts over us. Man's not over us. The book's over us. Amen. Revelation 19 and verse 13. And this is talking about Jesus, because it says in verse 12, his eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written, and no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. See, there's no difference between the written Word and the living Word. There's no difference. See, he is the Word becoming incarnate. So, the authority is the Word of God, amen? The authority is the Word of God. Now, if you really understood that this is his church, nothing would stop you from coming here. Amen? Nothing would stop you from coming here. Then fellowship, our fellow Christians shouldn't stop you from coming here. I mean, sooner or later, in the local New Testament church, you're going to get hurt. Something's going to happen where you're going to rub shoulders the wrong way with some Christian and you're going to get upset. That shouldn't stop you from coming to church. Amen? Different personalities shouldn't offend you. I mean, some people have different personalities than I do. But that shouldn't stop you from coming to church. Amen? Different nationalities shouldn't matter. Hey, we be brethren. I don't care what nationality you're from. We be brethren. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? It's intimate. Then the preaching shouldn't offend you. I tell you, anything from this book shouldn't offend you. It should correct you. It's like a knife. It goes in and it cuts, but then it heals. Amen. It's a two-edged sword. It shouldn't offend you. Nothing should convince you from missing even one service. Amen. The bell shouldn't hold you there. Man, if you really believe this is his church, Nothing will stop you. Amen. Now go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. And before that, I just want to bow and ask the Lord to help me. Because without Him, I can do nothing. And the older I get, the more I realize that. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Father, I ask you that you help me now. I pray you'd bless. You would just use the word of God, the foolishness of preaching to change lives. Oh God, just encourage your saints. I pray, Lord, that they would just, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would be in our presence and you would show up, Lord. Please help us this day. In Jesus' lovely name, amen, amen. The first thing I want you to see about Matthew 16, I want to pick it up here in verse 15. It says this, He said unto them, But whom ye that I am? Jesus is speaking here. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter. This rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. And now the first thing I want you to say about this scripture is, the first thing I want you to see, this is his church. He says, I will build my church. Amen. No man can build a church. It's Jesus that builds the church. Amen. The Bible talks about a man building a house. He labors in vain unless the Lord's in it. Amen. You cannot do it. It's impossible. The first thing you see here is this is, it's his church and it's his truth. Go back to verse 16. And it says this, And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The first thing I want you to see is this, that this is His truth. Amen? And it's built upon this truth is the church. It's Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not built upon Peter, because a few verses later, Peter gets corrected, doesn't he? And down verse 23, But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Well, that's not a nice thing to be called, is it? So Peter cannot be the rock. Amen? So the rock is the truth of that statement, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you look back in the Old Testament, and you see the rock is Jesus. Amen? The rock is Jesus. Deuteronomy 31. The rock is Jesus all the way through. He was the rock that the water gushed out. Amen? He was that rock. And the first thing you need to understand is that it's His truth. You know, I don't stand up here, thank the Lord I don't stand up here and tell you my opinions. Amen. I tell you the truth of the Word of God, amen? It's the truth of God's Word. It's His truth, and it's for you and for me. We desperately need this book in our hearts and lives. You desperately need preaching, because that old heart, that old sinful heart is wicked, vile, and it has to be brought under. It has to be, according to Colossians chapter 3, it has to be mortified, put to death, amen? It's His truth. Let me show you from the viewpoint of, let's go to John chapter 18, the viewpoint of Pilate. Now we can learn from those that are good people in the Bible and those that are not so good. Pilate made a mess of things. We can learn from that. Amen? We can learn from Pilate, because Pilate goes face to face with the truth. John chapter 18. I want to pick it up here in verse 36. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou the king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and to this end was because came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth, heareth my voice. You know, you don't have to, when you stand up here, you don't have to be worried about offending people. Amen. Because the truth offends. But once you preach the truth, those that hear His voice will come to you anyway. And he says, everyone that is of the truth, hear my voice. Notice Pilate, what Pilate says. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? It's a good question, isn't it? What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again into the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in him. So Pilate, in a very flippant way, says, what is truth? And he walks away. He walks away in a sarcastic way. But he was standing there looking at the very truth. Do you understand that? And it's amazing how blind we can be as we look at the world out there and we see they're blind. They cannot see. You know, a lot of Christians are like that too. We see the very truth of the very word of God, but we don't do it. Amen? The Bible says, be doers of the words, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. You see, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is, the word of God is so rich. It's a mirror. When you look into the book, you see a mirror. You see how yourself, you see yourself. When the preaching takes place and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, he wants you to deal with something. We have to, we can't just overlook it. It's a still small voice that speaks all the way from heaven to our hearts. We ought to appreciate it, amen? We ought to appreciate it. We come face to face with the truth. But see, Pilate was blinded by his place in life. Pilate was governor. Pilate was a governor. And he had a place in this life. He had an important job, you might say. But that was the problem, though. He was snared by the fear of man. You know, the fear of man bringing the snare every single time. Every single time. When we get old and when we get gray, like we are, we will look back and regret and think, man, I wish I didn't fear man. I wish I really didn't fear man. I wish I was just all out for Christ. Amen? I wish that was the case. That might be regrets. And in the end, Pilate loses everything. You know, Pilate, if he never trusted Christ as his Savior, is in hell today. And what a shame. He was face to face with the truth, and he never understood it. A lot of Christians come to church, and they come face to face with the Word of God, with the truth, and they never do nothing about it. What good is it? It's empty. It's hearing something going, as my mom would have said, going in one ear, going out the other ear. And it does nothing for us. You see, it's when you apply it in your life. When you apply the Word of God, when God speaks to you, and you apply the Word of God in your heart, and then, man, God begins to change you on the inside. God begins to change you in a wonderful, wonderful way. Hey, it's written in our hearts. It's written in our conscience. It's in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Hold your place in Matthew 16, I should have said. Romans chapter 8. The Bible says this in Amos. I'll just quote it for you. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, the only way your spirit can be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit is when there's agreement going on. Amen. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 16. The Spirit, capital Holy Spirit, itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see, when you hear, when God's word comes in and cleanses you, and when you hear the preaching of the Word of God and it cleanses you inside, you need to agree with it, amen. And you need, and when God shows you something in your life that's not right, you need to agree with it and say, I better deal with that. I better get that out of my life so I can go forward in my Christian life. Because otherwise you're stuck in the mud. You understand? You go round and round in circles like the children of Israel. You go round and round in the wilderness. And the devil knows just how to make a fool of us. Amen? Because we think we can get back to God, but all of a sudden we're way away from God. In agreement with our spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Amen. The Holy Spirit, you know, there's a lot of commentators, a lot of books written about the Bible. But you know what Spurgeon used to do? Spurgeon would read his Bible, come across a verse he didn't understand. Do you know what he would do? He would just simply go and pray about it. And the Lord would open it up to him. Amen. The Lord would open it up to him. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we were just confident enough in the Bible saying, I don't understand this passage of Scripture. I'm just going to pray about it. See if the Lord would open it up to me. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, amen? And it's for our benefit. Go to Proverbs. I want you to see Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs Proverbs 23, this is a great verse of scripture here. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. And the whole idea here is this, simply this. You have the truth before you right now. And that truth is precious. It costs people their lives. That book costs people their lives. There should be some price that we pay for it too, amen? Maybe we need to have a quiet time. Maybe we need to have where we get alone with God, where we have times of priority, where we read the Bible. Because the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Don't be flippant about reading the Word of God. Read it because it's the manna from heaven, amen? It's for our benefit. It's what makes us grow. The Bible says a newborn babe desires sincere milk and grow thereby. You think of a baby. You know, a baby like Luke. Luke 6 months ago, when he was born into this world, was helpless. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't even burp himself. You know, babies cannot do anything. And same with Caroline. And the thing is, that's what a Christian starts off like that. We can't do anything. But it's the Word of God that changes us, amen? It's when the Word of God gets a hold of our heart and mind and changes us on the inside and makes us different, amen? It's the Word of God. As newborn babes desire sincere milk to grow thereby, it's the Word of God that changes us for our benefit, amen? It equips us for this world. You cannot be equipped unless you have time alone with the Word of God. There is no equipping. You will try to do it in your own strength and you will fail every single time. And you're wondering, just thinking of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. That's for you, amen. Love, joy, peace. But then there's long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. That's not for you. That's for people around you, amen. That's for your children. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Man, I'm very convicted about this. If my kids could see long-suffering, gentleness and goodness, maybe I wouldn't have to correct them as much. Maybe they would respect me more. And as a daddy, thinking of that, it's heartbreaking. Because unless I put on the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance, unless I do that, I'm deceiving my own self. Amen? It's the fruit of the Spirit that changes me, to a different person. Amen? And it's not just for me. It's for those around me, amen? It's not just for me. So that we can stand against this ungodly world, amen? The Bible says in 1 John 5:19, and ye are of God. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lied in wickedness. It lied in wickedness back in those days, and it lies in wickedness today. It hasn't changed. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal through God, but are mighty through pulling down of strongholds, amen? We face a crafty enemy. Would you not agree with that? He's had over 5,000 years of experience. He knows everything about us. Unless we put on the whole armor of God, unless we are walking in the Spirit, we will be defeated. No question about it. He will defeat us every time we do it in our own strength. And the thing is, we get so busy. We get our priorities wrong, and we try to do it in our own ability, and we fail every time. You've got to put the Bible first, amen. You've got to put the Word of God first. You've got to put your prayer closet first. So, man, you know, God's not impressed with a long prayer. God just wants your heart, amen. God just wants you to say, oh, I can't make it today. I'm going through this battle. I cannot do it on my own strength. Lord, please help me. Do you think the Lord would help you? I think He would. You know, it's amazing. In Proverbs, we're in Proverbs. Let me just show you a verse in Proverbs. It's in Proverbs 23, and it's verse 26. Just read this with me. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. That's all the Lord wants. All he wants is your heart. And then everything else follows. Amen. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. You know, that was King Solomon talking to Rehoboam. And I can just see the burden of Solomon in his heart going, Rehoboam, don't do the things that you think you should do. Just give the Lord your heart. You make a mess of it, Rehoboam. And we make a mess of it every time. We make a mess of it every time, amen? So that we can stand against the craftiness of our enemy. You know, it's like playing a chess game. Could you imagine playing a chess game with the person who invented chess? He invented the game. And you're trying to play a game that he is 10 moves ahead of you. You're going to fail every time. You think you can do it, but you can't. So we just have to, call upon the Lord, amen? The Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous running into it and are safe, amen? It's the Lord. It's only the Lord. It's only Jesus. The Bible says, there is no temptation you but such as common to man. But God, it says, will make a way of escape. That way of escape is going to the Lord, amen? Every single time we will fail. And ultimately, it's His truth so that we can please Him, amen? John 8:29 says, what a verse. It talks about Jesus here. He says, and He that sent me is with me. The Father had not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. What a verse of Scripture. I do all those things that please Him. And as Christians, you know, we can please the Lord some of the time, maybe not all the time. That's okay. The Lord knows our struggles, amen. But we ought to be at least attempting to please Him in our lives, amen. And the Bible says it only comes by a struggle, by a fight. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth it entangle himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. You know what that verse is talking about? That verse is talking about warfare, amen? It's talking about being a soldier of Christ. And when you're a soldier of Christ, you have to war off. You have to get all the entanglements away so that you can just live a pleasing life for him, amen? A pleasing life for him. Go to Titus. See, this world is ungodly. But, you know, the Bible says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. Amen. Titus. After Timothy. Just in Titus chapter 2. And it says this in verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and the Savior Jesus Christ. Just one thing I want to say, it's a struggle. Amen? You're not going to be able to do it easily. It's a struggle. Because the old man wants to get back on the throne of your heart. And it's a struggle each day to get up and go, oh God, you need to be with me today. I cannot do it in my own strength. Because in John chapter 15 it says, I can do nothing without him. Amen? I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing without him. Maybe one of the biggest sins that we commit is we don't just maintain our walk with the Lord. And maybe that's where we get in trouble. Amen? So the first thing I want to say about Matthew 16 is that this is his truth. Amen? Then what I want you to say as well is, back to Matthew 16 again. Matthew 16. It's his truth. And it's his foundation, amen? It's his foundation. Notice what it says in verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is his foundation, amen. It's an already laid foundation, amen. It's already laid. You know, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the foundation, amen. It says there in 1 Corinthians 3:11 that no other foundation can any man lay that which is Christ Jesus. He laid that foundation, amen. And we each have to play a part in that, in the church, amen. Each being a member of the body, we all have a part to play We all have a part to play. You know, don't think because, you know, it talks about this. David says this over in Psalms 84. He says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness any day. I'd rather you just do something in the house of God. Just, there's no positions in the church. Amen? We all be brethren. And that's what I like about church. It's just different. We're all on the same level. Amen? And we're all trying to grow together. We're all same boat. Amen? It is already laid. Amen? We have the privilege, though, of serving in that church. The church that Jesus died for. Amen? That shed His blood for. He adds to the body. One thing I'm learning down in Carrigaline, that it's you have to pray and ask God, unless you add to this body, unless you add to this church, it's never going to grow. It's the Lord, amen? It's the Lord in the day. That's why prayer is so important. Just when you pray and you ask the Lord, saying, Lord, would you open that person's heart? Lord, would you just stir something up inside? Because they are dead. This unsaved world are dead in trespasses and sins. And we have to go there as faithful men and women and pray for God to open up hearts. Amen? Because it's His foundation and He adds to the body. It's Him that adds to the body. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to look at just a few verses here. Verses 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 18. But now had God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it had pleased Him. So who put you in Bible Baptist Church of Ballincollig? The Lord. The Lord did. And you don't have the right just to move on. Because if He put you here, you need to stay here. Amen. You need to stay here. The Lord put me in Bible Baptist Church of Carrigaline, and I don't know what the Lord has ahead, but I'm supposed to stay there until He comes back, amen? Because the Bible says I'm supposed to occupy till He comes. That's why church is so important, amen? You know, it's like, it's good to be stubborn in some ways. And one is, if the Lord tells you, go a certain place, stay there, it's good to be stubborn in that one area, amen? Because nothing will deter you from finishing what He started in your life. Amen? It's good to just stay there. It's good to stay there. And sin is something. The Lord puts you in the local New Testament church. And He doesn't want you to just sit there. He wants you to get involved. Amen? He wants you to get involved. Too many Christians just sit in the seat and they never get the benefit of serving in the house of the Lord. Amen? Because it is a privilege to serve in the house of the Lord. Just to do something for Him. You know, I remember when we were in Blarney. And just Blarney was rough. And it was a blessing, though. The Lord's presence was there. But there was that toilet to clean. And then there was the Sunday schools out back. And I won't even tell you what the stuff had to be cleaned up from there. But it wasn't a nice job. But the Lord, you could just sense the presence of the Lord there, amen? And He was just doing something for Him. Because you kind of got used to the idea of people coming, but you just wanted the Lord to show up. And the Lord showed up there mightily many, many times, amen? It's His foundation. And we need to build upon that. We need to build upon that. Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, and then Philippians chapter 2. It's amazing. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both the will and do of his pleasure. So this is just a simple understanding of this. God is working something in you, you're to work it out. Amen. It works in, it works out. That's the way the Christian needs to be. That's why we are supposed to be growing as Christians, because we're learning as we're going. Amen. We're applying the principles in our life and we're learning from them. Amen. We're learning from them. It's his foundation. And then go back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. I want you to see that it's his authority. Matthew 16. It's his authority. So it's his truth, it's his foundation, it's his authority in our lives. Matthew 16 and verse 19. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. And the whole idea is, it's his authority, amen. He adds to this church. And you know, when we go soul winning, man, when we try to open up that person's heart, and that person opens up their heart, that person gets saved, we're adding to the church, amen. And it's his authority. We go by his authority. You know, I don't need, thankfully, I don't need to go around and asking the churches in Carrigaline, is it okay if I open up here? I just need the Lord, amen. Amen. I just need his authority. And I've had people come to me and saying, well, do you know there's another Baptist church in Carrigaline? I appreciate that. It's wonderful there is a Baptist church in Carrigaline. But I'm supposed to do what the Lord tells me to do, amen. We're a little bit different. We're a little bit different. And that's okay too. But I appreciate them. I appreciate them preaching the gospel down there, amen. It's his authority. It's the written word. Amen. Hey, the word of God is quick and powerful. According to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. It is powerful. It is powerful. You know, I won't turn there, but in Jonah chapter 1 is a reluctant prophet, right? He goes and God tells him, go to Nineveh and go preach to Nineveh. And Jonah runs. Okay, in chapter 2, Jonah is the repentant prophet. He comes and he repents because he's in the belly. He's in a rough situation. But you know what? If you look at that thing, it's only partial repentance. Because chapter 3, he goes and he preaches. He preaches to that big city in Nineveh. And he's the preaching prophet. In chapter 4, though, he's the pitiful prophet. He is the pitiful prophet. He is wishing he could die. Because his heart hasn't been changed fully. But even all that takes place, the reason why I want you to see this, that it's not in man. It wasn't in Jonah. It was in Jonah's calling that made it important. Because Jonah preaches to Nineveh, and I believe in a half-hearted way, and he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, and 120,000 people repented, at least. Probably 200,000 or 300,000 people repented just on the preaching of one man, Jonah. So the thing is, what I want you to understand is, if it's his authority and we're preaching his book, it's going to yield results. Amen. It's going to yield results. It's his authority. But the last thing I want to say as well, in Matthew 16 again, is it's his purchased possession. You are his purchased possession tonight. Notice what it says in Matthew 16 again. In verse 20, then charged he his disciples that should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth, and Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. See, Peter didn't like that. This was Jesus, and now he was going to the cross. He was heading for the cross. And Peter didn't understand that. And Peter tries to rebuke the Lord here in verse 23. But the Lord had one thing fixed in his mind. He wanted to go to that cross. He laid that plan before the foundation of the world. Amen. That's how much He loves us. Even the way back when Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, there was a way, there was a sacrificial system set up so that we could be brought, so man could be brought back to God. Amen. You are His purchased possession tonight. Amen. You are bought with a price. Amen. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. All the way from Adam. The greatest love story ever told. It was the reason He came to this world. Amen. Amen. He didn't come just to be an example. He didn't come just to be a good teacher. He came for one purpose. To lay down His life for the wickedness of this world. Amen. Every vile, filthy sin that's ever been committed, Jesus died for. Amen. He did it for us. And that ought to put just a humbleness in our hearts. Just a joy. Just realizing that it should have been me. Amen. It should have been me. And not just for not just on the cross, but for all eternity, burning in the lake of fire. That should have been me. Amen. It was His passion, though. We are His purchased possession, and we are His passion. Notice what it says in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We are His purchased possession because we're His passion. Acts 1 and verse 3. To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. Hey, the church was His passion. Amen. It ought to be ours. This is His church, amen. It ought to be, we ought to say this is our church as well. Amen. It was His passion. It was His joy. It talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. Hey, what joy was before Him? The cross was before Him. But on the other side of the cross was you and I, amen. Was you and I. And that was the joy that Jesus had as He went to that cross. He was dying for the every filthy sin of this world. Amen. We are His passion, His joy. It was His. Go to Matthew 26. It was His motivation. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Just a few more scriptures. It's nice to be able to preach and know that there's no time restriction. See, in Carrigaline there is. I have to be out there by 1 o'clock at the latest. So, but Matthew 26. I just want you to see here. This is Jesus in the garden, and there's a trial upon His life that we have never experienced. You know, it says there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. It says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood." Amen. Oh, we've only dealt with fleshly things, but Jesus dealt with so much more. And it says there in verse 37, "And He took with Him Peter, the son of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then said He unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrow, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me." I love the next verse. And He went a little further. You know, He did that for you and for I. His only motivation was a church, amen. He did it for you and for I. And you know, when you maybe have a bad day, and maybe your whole world falls apart, just remember Jesus, amen. Just remember that He went a little further for you and for I. Because He had to make it to that cross, amen. And there was another trial taking place here. What I believe is Satan was trying to stop Him from reaching that cross. Amen. That's my belief. It was His motivation. In His darkest hour, the Prince of Darkness was trying to keep Him from the cross. You know, we've never dealt with that kind of temptation. And it was His purpose. It was His alone to fulfill. Do you realize this? That no angel, no cherubim could have done what Jesus did. Only Jesus could have done that. Amen. It was only the precious blood of the Son of God that could do that. It was only the King of Glory that could come our way and could die for you and for I. Amen. It was only Him. It was only Jesus. He died for us, the perfect Son of God. And you know what he calls the church in Matthew 13? He calls it the pearl of great price. Amen. He calls it a pearl of great price. He paid the price. Amen. Jesus paid in full. Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. And over in the Old Testament talks about the scapegoat. And the whole idea of the scapegoat is they would place their hand, there would be the sin offering, and that would be burnt up. And then there would be the scapegoat, where Aaron would put his hand and they would transfer all the sin of the people onto that goat, and then they would drive that goat into the wilderness. That's the best they could do in the Old Testament. But you know what it says in the Psalms 103? It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our sin from us. Amen. He did a complete job. Amen. In the Old Testament, they could only do so much. And yes, it was only an IOU. But he did a complete job. He said, it is finished. Amen. Jesus is our only propitiation. Full payment for every sin. And you know what? Since he did all that, he has the right. He has earned the right in my life. Amen. He has earned the right. And then the final passage, go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I want you to see in Revelation chapter 5 that very, very briefly there's a book in the Father's hands. And it's a title deed for this earth. For instance, if you buy a car, there's a title deed for it. The same thing with this earth. It's a title deed for this earth. And it says in verse 2, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof?" And talks about in verse 3, "No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." Nobody was found. And John begins to weep. And he says in verse 4, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." And verse 5, "And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, have prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals, the seven seals thereof." Because of him, amen. The only reason I'm not burning in hell today is because of him. So he has earned the right, amen. He has the right to be called Lord, amen. The Lord Jesus. He has the right to have full possession of my life. He owns me. I'm bought with a price. Hey, isn't it wonderful that I'm not back in the cesspool of sin, in the miry clay? The Lord pulled me out of that. Now he wants me to do something for him, amen. Now he wants me to do something for him. I'm bought with a price. There is no, you ever realize, there is no such thing as freedom. Freedom is not being neutral. Freedom is being close to Jesus Christ. That's the only freedom you'll ever have. That's why the Bible says, you shall know the truth. Jesus is the truth, and the truth shall make you free, amen. The truth shall make you free. He's earned that right. He is worthy. In Revelation chapter 5, you've got, I mean, this is some picture here, because in heaven, notice what it says in verse 11, "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels." And when it says many, it means many. "Round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, 100 million angels." And they're saying one thing in heaven. And they're saying it this night. They're saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." He's being praised today, and we ought to praise him, amen? Because you are his purchased possession. And let me just say this very, very briefly. This is his church, amen? You've got to get that into our heads. It's his church. I don't care if nobody shows up tomorrow. It's his church, amen? And maybe sometimes when there's a low show, I just want to encourage you. You know, the Lord shows up. Amen. And it's a blessing. Some of the greatest Bible studies I've had is when one person showed up. One person showed up. And it was like the Lord. I just stepped out of the room. The Lord took over. I didn't expect it to happen. It just the Lord took over. You know, the Lord's in the low things, amen. He's in When we have a lowly, humble spirit, the Lord shows up there. Amen. And He wants to show it up. And, you know, the church is His local assembly. It's a light visible to the world. It's the most important, most importantly of all, it's His church. It's His truth, His foundation, it's His authority, because it's His purchased possession. Amen. We're His purchased possession. And the reason we come here is because of Jesus. And the reason we stay here is because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's just for Him. At the end of the day, if you're not doing it for Him, it means nothing. And honestly, that's when the motivation is pure in our hearts. Amen. I hope this was a blessing. Let's just pray.